The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Eric Wittstrom.
Morning, Carl.
Good morning, Eric. Eric is going to be my co-host for today. Linda is on spring break this week.
Lucky Linda.
Of course, we were at the Wind River Elements Lounge last night, and she and her band, Lady Bott and the Bluebirds, just killed it last night. Just rocked it last night.
Aired it out.
Hey, 7:07 in the morning here. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And guess who's back? Savannah.
I am back.
From Malaysia.
And I am ready to be here, too.
Are you ready to be here, too? We're going to talk a little bit about that today. But what's the weather look like there, kiddo?
Right now, it is 52 degrees. Going to get it to a high of 71 today and a low of 48. Saturday is looking at a high of 67, partly cloudy with a chance of rain, low of 46, and Sunday is going to be a high of 54 degrees.
54 degrees. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, a locally owned and operated veteran-owned business, of course, with senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793. In fact, we maybe have a chance for rain Sunday, which is going to be one of the things we're talking about today. But good morning, Eric. How are you?
Doing great, Carl.
Eric Wittstrom is president of the Northern Division of Five Star Bank and a friend, and which is probably more important. It doesn't pay as well.
but it's more rewarding.
But it's more rewarding.
In some ways.
In some ways.
Some ways that I probably haven't even found out yet.
You know what? You know, right now, there's things that are happening right now that in the universe that will come back and repay you much more than money ever will for coming into the studios today. And speaking of being in the studios today, Spencer, it's Friday.
Good morning.
What is your latest friend here?
So this morning I brought with me Red.
Who is just laying down right now.
He is. He's a nice mellow boy. Uh-huh. Red's a 4-year-old lab mix. I think he's a lab Rottweiler mix. He's about 50 pounds, black with the red highlights on his feet and on his ears, a little bit on his tail. Great dog. He came into our shelter originally as an owner surrender. He was a little too active for the owner. Not sure how he could be a little too active. He's just a big couch potato. He's a leaner.
He's just kind of like, he's just a good friendly dog.
Yes, he is. So we have Red rated for a home with kids 5 and older. He does well with all other animals.
Cats?
He does well with cats.
Gerbils?
Yep, everything.
No, man, you've put him with gerbils.
No, we haven't put him with gerbils.
Okay, so then you don't know about gerbils.
Well,
but then
if he does well with cats, though, 9 times out of 10, gerbil. They'll do great with everybody.
How about weasels?
Don't know.
Okay, I just wonder.
If you have a weasel, we can introduce them, though.
Okay. Well, it's illegal.
I know some.
It's illegal. I think it's illegal to own weasels in California. Did you know that?
I'm sure it is. It's illegal to own a lot of animals in California.
Anyway, okay. Anyway, Red is just kind of like laying there.
He is. He's a big lazy guy. And, you know, Red, unfortunately, we sent him up to our vet clinic to have everything done to him, and unfortunately, he tested positive for heartworms.
Oh, boy. Okay.
We have raised all of the funds to treat him, though. It was around $400 that we had to raise for his heartworm treatment. And now Red's searching for a forever home. Mm-hmm. He would love to find a forever
home.
He's
been treated, though, right?
Not yet, he hasn't.
Yet. He will be. Okay.
If he doesn't find a forever home today, we're at least asking for someone to step forward and help foster him through his treatment.
Okay.
Because the treatment is, you know, it takes about 90 days from start to finish for the whole heartworm treatment. And it's just something that they don't do well for the heartworm treatment in a shelter environment. They need that nice, quiet home environment. And so we're hoping that today's Red's lucky day and we can get him started on his treatment and find him, hopefully, a foster forever home. But worst case scenario, we're hoping to find him a foster home today.
Okay. Well, this is really a mellow dog,
he's a friendly one.
He looks like he'd be a great dog to have around the house.
He's a leaner.
He leans on you. leans on you. You know, I've when I was working with horses and shoeing horses, they'd lean. They do it really slow, though. No, a horse would just kind of like very, very slowly shift its weight over.
And then before you know it, you're holding it.
You know,
up.
I'm holding up this horse while I'm trying to shoe it at the same time. But, you know, they thought it was pretty cool. Okay, so how do people do this? How do people get a hold of you, buddy?
So you could stop by the shelter at 7449 East Side Road, or you could give us a call at 241-1653. And if you know Fred's a little bit too big for you to foster, we do have other smaller dogs that do need medical fosters. Right now, we currently have no foster parents to help us foster the dogs that have medical needs. So we really like some help with those because we do get, you know, sick or injured animals in that just need to go into that home environment for a little bit of time to recoup from their injury or illness.
And
so if that's something you'd be interested in doing, please stop by or give us a call.
At Haven Humane. Okay. Great looking dog.
Thank you for having us, Carl.
You bet. Okay. Good luck on this. And good luck, Red. What a nice dog. Mm-hmm. You know, I just see the top of its head. Okay.
Yep. I saw him outside on the street when he was bringing him in, and he's just a nice, gentle,
you know, that's
dog.
The kind of dog you'd like to have on, you know, to be able to go out for a walk on the river trail.
Yep.
With this, because he's quiet and
quiet and mellow.
But he's big enough, and he's a real dog. He's a real dog. Yeah. I got that. I heard what you said. Elk killer. Watch out next time. Wear a leather collar next time you come to the house.
Yeah,
elk killer. Go
be
for your
careful
neck.
My shoelaces.
Go for your throat. Watch. She sneaks up on you. Hey, a lot of things happening, but Savannah, give us like 3 minutes of Malaysia. You went there on a mission.
Yep. Well, first went to Japan.
Okay.
Then Singapore,
okay.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
And then Indonesia, and then parts of Malaysia.
Okay. And you were out in the villages.
Yeah, we went from island to island, which Indonesia itself has 17,000 islands.
So you were Indonesia, not Malaysia?
Both.
Both, okay.
Yep.
Indonesia is the largest Muslim population in the world, too.
They are.
Uh-huh.
And these islands, there's about 400 to 4,000 on each island,
mm-hmm.
On the small ones. And then we went to the five major islands as well. So
what did you do while you were there?
A lot of it was we went and helped people on the islands. We did a lot of construction work, picking up a lot of garbage, actually. The parts that we went to, they're usually some of the poorest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to these islands, and there's just garbage everywhere and animals everywhere. And so,
do you wonder why they don't pick that up?
Did
they ever talk to you about that? When you say, how could you... Like, I've been to places when there's been a dead animal in their water supply, a big, large dead animal. I said, why didn't you all move that out of there?
It was very foreign to me. Their reasoning was it's too expensive for their island to have someone come pick up their trash. And then I thought, well, why couldn't they burn it? Something. What I realized is
you're
just not
asking,
a priority.
It's just,
it's just a different culture.
You're asking the right question, but you're right. And the whole thing is that's the way they were raised. And, you know, to have something like that is, okay. You know, there's no water there. You could dig a well. Well, you know, that's the way it's always been. That's why, you know, those are the things that when you go out there and you spend this time, it's good for you.
It really was. The first time you see a child throw, like, a wrapper out the window, you're like,
kind of flinch.
Yeah, I did. I was like, wait. Oh, that's normal. I didn't contribute to throwing trash outside.
That's good.
But
no, you were picking it up. Well, what's the biggest thing you learned? You're in third world nations. I mean, really third world nations. What's the biggest difference?
Oh, gosh. You know what? I would actually be very interested in discovering what different Muslims are like around the world, because the Indonesia Muslims, I've been told, are so different from Arab Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And just...
Maybe they follow the Quran somewhat more in the sense of goodness and treating people better.
They were actually very... I mean, it's my first exposure. They were actually very peaceful, I was aware that there is persecution for anyone who isn't Muslim out there. So we were pretty careful. We didn't really... I didn't specifically say I was a Christian. I'm sure they assumed because I was a Westerner.
Probably the cross you were wearing on your chest there on the shirt might have said something.
Yeah, maybe. But I think it was just learning about their culture and learning about their faith that it was so eye-opening.
Have you ever been to a been out of the United States or been over to like a third world country before?
I mean, yes. I mean, I've spent times in the slums in Brazil and in China, but this was a whole other ballgame.
It is.
Yeah, when you get out on the islands where they've been isolated for a period of time, forever maybe, for generations, it is a different. It's amazing.
I was eating hermit crabs. It was brutal.
Okay, so here's Savannah.
You have to eat a lot of those to fill your stomach.
We think the world of Savannah, of course. And Savannah says she likes us a lot. And
I do.
So she brings me back coffee. It's coffee made of kitty poop. All right, you think I'm kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Is that what I'm drinking?
That's what you're drinking. I'm not drinking. How's it taste so far?
It's not bad.
Not bad. Here, okay. Do you feel this strange urge to lick your hand and like clean your face? No. What this is, it's a very rare coffee, and it really is a rare coffee. It's only made in the
Indonesia.
In Indonesia,
it's actually one of the most expensive cups of coffee you can buy.
And she brought us back enough for what? Was that for like a pot of coffee there?
Two delicious pots of coffee.
All right. And the way they do it is they feed.
I don't know specifically what the cat is called. It's like Kopi something.
Mm-hmm.
And they feed these wild cats berries, and they defecate, and there is a delicious little bean.
They get the little beans out of it.
Yep.
Now, here's the thing. And then they make coffee of it. I've heard of this before.
No, we're going to
experience it today.
Now,
here's the thing, and we got to take a break. But who in the hell figured this one out? Who in the hell figured out that here's these cats eating these wild cats eating these berries in there and they're pooping them out? Who got into it and took the seeds out and made coffee?
I think it was on a dare.
It's the same person who opened up an oyster and ate it the first time. You know, there's like okay, we got to take. Savannah. I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad you're back safe. All right. Hey, Eric Wittstrom's here with me. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about a number of things, water, and a headline in the news, which is kind of troubling in a way. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460.
You talk about putting the extreme in extreme sports. April 17th, 18th, and 19th, the Red Bluff Roundup is on. To meet with You Got a Rodeo that's both PRCA and WPRA approved. You award world champion points. And you pay the highest purse. And I guarantee you that brings to Red Bluff the top cowboys in America to ride the rankest stock anywhere. A Friday night is Tri-County's Bank Family Night. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank. Together we'll go far. And Red Bluff Dodge Day. And Sunday, it's St. Elizabeth Hospital in Haleakala, Colorado. It's tough enough to wear pink day. Get your discount tickets now at the Roundup office, RedBluffRoundup.com, or Diamond W Western Wear in Chico. Hey, don't miss the concert after the rodeo Saturday night. Here, thanks to Diamond W Productions, it's Chris Cagle in concert. Oh, yeah, the Red Bluff Roundup is on.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
A great dinner, the chance to win from among hundreds of prizes, and a great cause. The Northern California Veterans Museum. Hi, I'm Rob Burrows, inviting you to the second annual dinner and auction fundraiser for the building of the Northern California Veterans Museum. Exciting things are happening as we raise funds to make this beautiful facility a reality. Join us Saturday, April 11th at Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Doors open at 4:30, dinner at 6:30, and lots of prize winning the rest of the night. Save the date, April 11th, and call for more information at 222-2282. That's 222-2282. 2282. And thanks for all of your support.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Bott here with Eric Woodstrom. He's my co-host today. And that was from, what was the name of that one? From
Streets of Fire, Tonight is What It Means to Be Young.
Yeah, Tonight What It Means to Be Young. It's from Streets of Fire. It's a movie with some great, great music in it, written by, I think, part, and some of the songs were written by the guy that did all the Meatloaf songs, when Meatloaf was actually somebody back there, bat out of hell. Good morning, everybody. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Special Joe's with great coffee, of course. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California, with a walk-in humidor that will never fail to offer you the finest in cigars. All of this at Tobacco and Brew, and veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Some things going on this weekend. Let's start with Shasta Speedway is opening tomorrow night.
All right.
April 4th, opening night, starts at 1 p.m., pit gates open, front gates open at 3 p.m., and we've got tickets. We have tickets for the Speedway tomorrow night with all the races, and we're going to start giving these tickets away now. We've got, let me see, I've got two tickets. I've got two tickets that will get you into the Speedway. The grand opening of the day, Cattle Rockers play. Rocket plays at until 7 p.m. when the racing begins. You can meet the drivers at 6:30 p.m. What a great event for the whole family. In fact, I tell you what, 605-4567, and I will give away a family pack.
There you go. And you see at the end there, boat races at the end of the evening.
That's right.
The infamous boat races. Have you ever seen those, Carl?
I have never seen a boat race. What do they look like?
Well, they have a car towing a boat.
A car towing a
– without a trailer.
Without a trailer?
Yeah.
Is the whole idea on this to destroy this kind of stuff?
It's absolutely wild. It's something that I don't think I've ever seen in any place other than Anderson, California.
Does that surprise us?
And I've been to some backwood racetracks.
Some backwood racetracks?
Yes, I have.
All right,
watching the demolition derby at Hibbing, Minnesota about a year ago. And that was almost as exciting as the boat races in Anderson, California.
I tell you what, they're going to have late models, modified bombers, minis, hornets, late models, modified bombers, minis, and hornets. These are all the practice times.
People calling in.
And people calling in for four tickets to the Shasta Speedway. All cars are going to start at the front there at 7 p.m. Do we have a winner?
We do. How many tickets are we getting?
I've given away four tickets for this one. This is for the April 4th. Four tickets. For tomorrow night, the gates open at 3 p.m. Yeah, get some names there, and I've got some more to give away also. But we're giving away four, and so thanks a lot for calling. We're going to give away some more during the show, too. We may even have some VIP tickets.
Fantastic.
That's right.
It is a fun time.
It's a great time.
And now in the springtime, the summer gets a little bit warm in that grandstand. But
do you go there?
I've been there for the fireworks, the 3rd of July fireworks and the races, and and it is a fun time. If you enjoy it all, racing or just getting out and seeing something different, it's a lot of fun.
Well, you know what?
Bring the kids, have some fun.
Well, you know what? We were there, and it was the last race of last year. We thought it might be the last race for Shasta Speedway. And the guys come back, and we're going to have him on, I believe
Today.
He may be on, in fact, today to talk about this. We're going to be giving away four tickets real quick. Tell them how to get here and who won it. Who was the name?
Nancy Dunn.
All right, Nancy. Okay, Nancy, come on down today at 1326 Market Street and pick up your tickets. Now, something I want to talk about on a serious note. I try not to get too serious on Fridays because you just want kind of like Fridays to end up okay. But there was a headline in the paper, and especially after Savannah just came back, and one of the things she talked about was the fact that being Muslim – or being non-Muslim in a Muslim country like that is, though they didn't, you weren't overtly, nothing overtly was done, but you realized that there was some There was some underlying tensions.
Yeah.
Yeah, to kind of keep your eyes open.
Okay. Here's the headline. Extremist murder, 147 in Kenya. 13-hour ordeal at a college in Kenya. And it says, Al-Shabaab gunman rampaged through a university in northeastern Kenya at dawn, killing 147 people in the group's deadliest attack. They call them militants. They call them extremists. They singled out non-Muslim students at Garissa University and gunned them down without mercy. It isn't until, like, halfway through the story you see that they're linked to Al-Qaeda. And then there's some names, and it comes out. It didn't say Muslim extremist. It didn't say Islamic extremist. It was just extremist. But I guess it would tell you something
like
that.
They were singling out those that weren't Muslim.
In the second paragraph, it's like, hey, they're killing Christians. And I'm starting to worry a little bit about that we're becoming some kind of politically correct. It's like illegal aliens.
You don't think it was an oversight at the newspaper?
No.
No.
It's kind of like illegal aliens.
I get it. We need to just, you know.
Well, it's not. What the Record Searchlight does, they take it off
sure.
bigger out of
yep.
the AP.
Comes out of.
And that's what starts it.
Yeah. It's nuts.
It is nuts. It's kind of like illegal aliens has changed now to non-documented immigrants, or not even that sometimes,
right.
about people that are in the country illegally. So
they are here illegally.
They are here illegally. They
right.
are.
They are.
They are here illegally, and yet we seem to be spending a lot of money and time on this. Okay. Other things. The water.
Water.
Oh, well, I tell you what. Why don't we go right to the phones, because Senator Jim Nielsen is on the line.
He might have something to say about water.
Yeah. Senator Nielsen, good morning. Carl Bott and Eric Woodstrom.
Happy Easter, Northern California. How are you?
Happy Good Friday.
We're fine, Senator. You know what? You call when there's something hot.
Well, I'm wanting to be in the good spirit.
Oh, okay.
Recognizing Christ and the resurrection. It's a wonderful time to reaffirm our faith at a time when Christians are so persecuted across this world. You know, that's sad. Water is on my mind literally every day, folks. And we're fighting the good fight, trying to make sure that sites, reservoir, and Temperance Flat get built to buffer these future droughts we're going to have.
Well, you know, with no snowpack, and what Governor Brown is saying is that it's going to be the worst ever. And our front page says on the paper says that it's going to starve the lawn, save the water. It looks like this. I think everybody's getting serious about this, Senator.
Well, yes, and I'd like to say the passage of Proposition 1 shows that seriousness. But you must understand that we cannot conserve our way out of future drought. We have got to have additional surface water supplies. We've got to have groundwater recharge. And we need to have some impoundment of water up in the watershed regions, in the smaller dams, to hold our water and to give some groundwater recharge. But to those who think that we can just conserve, folks, we've gone as far as we can.
Right. The voters have spoken with Proposition 1, and now we need action.
Well, we do, but there are people that are trying to ignore that.
I know.
2.75 is not going to go for storage.
I know already. You know, they're carving it up for different things unrelated, really, to water.
Well, that's the daily battle, folks, on the waterfront in Sacramento.
Wow.
I was happy that at least the governor recognized that yesterday that the agricultural community has given its part and
yes.
still is.
This is everybody's problem. It's not one sector or the other. It's everybody's problem to work on and solve.
Well, it's been interesting to me when you look around California the last 2 years, who has been most conserving of water. It's all of us up in the Sacramento Valley. And who have been the least are those folks down on the coast.
Yes.
Well, what I understand is in L.A. and some of these areas that their average use of water per day is 300 gallons per person, as opposed to 70 gallons per person, which is what it's supposed to be because of all the all of their yards and their all the landscaping they're doing to a lot of these places down in the more affluent sections, where they're taking the water from the farmers and from other other sources. And it's still being wasted out there. I mean, when are they going to do something about that, Senator? Is there any teeth into this to go after people?
Well, yeah, there is teeth. But in fact, Carl, that's one of the problems with the legislation. The so-called drought legislation in the last 2 years, I voted against. In fact, a week and a half ago, I debated against it again. Why? Because it's giving absolute dictatorial power to the water board. Dictatorial power of an unaccountable, unelected body that can impose huge fines upon all of us with no more than a regulation that they vote themselves, a regulation that has no review through the Administrative Procedures Act. The Office of Administrative Law does not get to look at it at all to see if it's even legal, the regulation they're imposing on us. So our only recourse would be a lawsuit. And you know how hard that is to do to get a lawsuit.
Well, that's true. You know, we've had enough of bureaucracies and committees that make these arbitrary decisions from people who nobody even knows who they are, and nobody has control over them. And when they do make a decision, it's final. And we're living with those kind of decisions every day.
Carl, we are. And let me give you another example of how they've wrested power. These agencies now, and you name it, Fish and Game, Water Board, et cetera. They're trying to fund themselves through fines and penalties imposed on all of us. And what that does then, since they are funded, self-funded in effect, by their unilateral ability with no accountability to raise fines, raise money to fund themselves through fines, then the legislature and the governor do not even have budgetary authority or control over. They fund themselves, and they'll take what they get in the budget, but they don't need the budget. Then they act just like UC is acting now. You give us all the money we want, or we'll just raise tuition, or we'll fine the people more. That's the way government is now working.
Wow. Senator Jim Nielsen has called in. Senator, we got to take a break here, and we got some guests lined up, but we sure appreciate you calling.
Let's wrest government back, ladies and gentlemen, and you do it at the ballot box.
You bet, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Senator Jim Nielsen.
Keep fighting the good fight.
All right, we're going to take...
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Happy Good Friday to you, Senator. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, Eric Wistrom.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
For a tax professional that truly understands taxes and can review your investments to help lower your tax bill, call Tom Wood, Certified Financial Planner with the Advice Center. Tom specializes in tax preparation for businesses and investors. Whether you have a business and want to lower your tax liabilities, or are an investor that would like to lower the taxes you pay on your investments, you want an experienced, compassionate advisor like Tom Wood at the Advice Center. Call Tom at 244-7526 for top quality tax preparation, or this month, Tom's offering a free investment review to see if your investments are tax efficient. Call 244-7526. That's 244-PLAN. For experienced tax preparation, a free investment review, or any of your tax, financial, or insurance needs, call 244-PLAN or go to theadvicecenter.com. Securities offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA, SIPC.
Adamson's Peak Performance is our gym of choice. There is nothing better than to feel in shape, and that can make you feel on top of the world. Adamson's Peak Performance. No gimmicks, no games, no hypes. Make workouts fun at Adamson's Peak Performance, located at 3050 C Street. Give them a call at 221-8006 for their March special. That's Adamson's Peak Performance.
Turtle Bay's 23rd Annual Spring Plant Sale is April 3rd and April 4th. Our ever-popular heirloom vegetables are a main feature of this spring plant sale, and they sell out fast. Turtle Bay members have their very own pre-sale on Friday, April 3rd. The public sale is on Saturday, April 4th. Turtle Bay members will get a 30% discount, and non-members get 20%. Plus, you can get free gardening advice throughout the day from our Arboretum and Botanical Garden staff and volunteers. For more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. And the song, One Bad Stud.
Don't give
They're
me...
from Streets of Fire.
Kind of doing Streets of Fire today. Gave me there,
Carl. Well, you know, hey, 7:35 in the morning here today on KCNR 1460, 52 degrees. It's not going to be very warm today. In fact, this whole weekend could be a little bit cooler, cool, including huh? Sunday at 56 degrees, but a good chance of rain, which we need very, very much. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Redding, right across from Sierra Gibbs. You're looking for jewelry. You're looking for that special piece for that one you love. It's there, Four Winds Jewelry. Always got great sales going there. Leonard and his associates are more than willing to help you find that right piece of jewelry, whether it's a piece of estate jewelry or brand new or just a loose gem. Watches, brooches, he's got it all. Four Winds Jewelry, great prices, honesty, integrity, and it's just a lot of fun to talk to Leonard. 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday. My guest host, of course, Eric Wittstrom, president of Northern Division of Five Star Bank.
It's good to be here today.
Good to be here. It's good to be anywhere.
It's good to be anywhere.
Almost. Maybe not some of the places that Savannah was in the last couple of weeks. You know, come there. You know, I don't think wearing the T-shirt that said... Crusades, Christians 2, Muslims. Well, I don't know. I think Muslims were at least one.
Maybe. Yeah, I took that one off.
Yeah, after. You took that one off, took out the one. You know, don't wear those. Hey, we just gave away four tickets to the grand opening of the Shasta Speedway, you know, which is just a great place. How many people in the room here have raced at Shasta Speedway?
Have raced there?
Uh-huh. Oh, just one of us? Okay. Just wondering. Our guest is Frank Bermonte here, who is, you're the man behind it. You brought it back.
Well, it's been a resurrection to this point. Matter of fact, it was interesting that you had Sarah Nielsen on earlier. We've been negotiating with the state now for almost 9 months to get an agreement with them, and we're dealing with some of the issues that have been neglected in the past. And his office has been instrumental in helping us deal with the state. Taking care of some of the deferred maintenance and other issues. But we are on the road to recovery. We start our first event tomorrow, Saturday. We're more of an event center now than just the Speedway. We're getting things like music, other forms of entertainment.
Cattle Rocket. They're good.
Oh, they're great. Matter of fact, it's amazing how many people follow them and are coming just for the music.
Yeah, they're a good band. Yeah.
Well, the other, you know, part of the things that we're offering is we're getting out to the community, even going out to churches saying, come on, use our facility for your services. You know, we just don't want to be a Speedway one-night facility, even flea markets or swap meets. But the event this weekend is going to be pretty spectacular. Cattle Rocket's going to start at 3. They're going to play through 7. We're going to have the boat races following at the end of the evening, and it's going to be the cars and sandwiched in between starting around 5 o'clock. But everybody's invited out to listen to music, sit on the lawn, and we have Logan's and Cicada and Joe's Burger Shack serving food.
Oh, so you got a whole bunch of them out here.
Oh, yeah. We've, you know, we want people to come out and not only be entertained, but leave with a full belly and still money in their wallets.
Wonderful.
Well, how much
do you have a full lineup this Saturday? Pretty full lineup of cars?
Yes, we have a full grid. Most of the car activity will be getting back to speed.
Yes.
Our main racing events will be the 18th of April. But for this weekend, we're giving them an opportunity to
get out there and
get the cobwebs out. I mean, even some of these old-timers that I'm looking at can come out and do something. So, and we're going to start bringing back the Enduro Series, where you don't have to be a race car driver. You can come out and bring out a car that's safety inspected and go out there and run
just
for an hour or two.
Run what you bring, huh?
Run what you bring. And we're also going to initiate our team charity.
I remember those nights. Those were a long time ago.
Yeah, run what you bring. Well, we used to do that when we were Marines. We'd go down to the drags, and we'd go and we'd take somebody's car, and we'd have some guys that actually knew what they were doing because they were, hot shot mechanics and doing like, wait a minute, we have to ice the engine.
We'd be out at Excelsior Road just outside, out by the airport.
We'd just be running as fast as we could run in little six cylinders with a three-speed on the column.
Well, we used to have people with rental cars come out to the show.
Why use your own?
You know, and I always felt sorry for the guy that ended up with that rental car. You know, it just they were pretty well thrashed by the end of a day.
What is a boat race? Now, you know, Eric was starting to explain it.
Carl's never seen the boat race.
I've never seen
the
boat race.
I've seen the boat race.
Well, it's a form of stupidity. it's somewhere between, the gladiators, the lions, and the Christians.
It's one step up or down from the trailer races.
I'd say up, because from a promoter standpoint, there's less to clean up at the end. But the idea is pretty simple. The bomber cars tow these boats behind them, and the object is not to get your boat destroyed first.
And the boats are not on trailers.
Oh no!
When they were talking, they were talking about the boat race, and I thought, okay, I can understand you can get yourself a $100 boat, and pull it. But what about the trailers? Oh no! It's just a rope.
Trailers.
Just a rope.
Just a rope and drag.
Okay, that makes a little more sense.
Well, the grand prize winner this morning can actually be in the boat and drive it.
Drive the boat. Speaking of that, we have some more tickets to give away. We have two more tickets to give away for tomorrow's big event at the Shasta Speedway. It opens at 3, but the races start around 7. You're going to have music starting at 3, a bunch of speed trials going on and off. And at 7 p.m., all cars to the front stretch. Autograph session begins. And they clear the tracks, and that's when they start.
Yeah, one thing about the autograph section, there's so many fans out there that have watched the cars and drivers from the stands. We're actually going to open up the gates in the middle of the afternoon, bring all the cars up to the grandstand area and the safety track area. But the fans can actually go out on the asphalt.
We'll give away a second set of tickets. Savannah, we'll give away a second set of tickets if that's the next group, too. So we'll give away 4 tickets this time, 2 to each group that calls. I'm sorry.
But anyway, we're going to have an autograph session with the drivers where the fans can come out there and mingle with the drivers, pet their cars, just go out there and see more than just a car flashing by on the straightaway with a bunch of decals on it.
I tell you, people that have listened to our show and know Linda and I, is that we did race out there. And it was a fundraiser, and we had some very good friends of ours, RJ and Edith, built a truck. And they had a truck because we thought it was going to be a truck race. That's what they told us. It'd be doing like 35, 40 miles an hour. It was just going to be like a, touchy-feely type thing, which, of course, was not true at all. We got in the truck. Everybody else was –
competitive juices came out.
Well, $1,000 first prize. People came out of the hills. I mean, and they were doing body work on their cars with chainsaws. I swear, I saw. And we raced. Linda and I are in our cute little red outfits that Linda bought from one of these racing things. Yeah, don't even get into this. But we raced for 200 laps.
Well, we're going to have celebrity races later in the year. Our teen charity, our safety driving program, is going to have a fleet of cars available for the teen driver training. Then on Saturday nights, we're going to make those cars available to different organizations that have competitive celebrity events. I mean, you can have Knapp Auto Parts versus O'Reilly's, or the police department versus the CHP, or the fire department versus the mayor's group. So, we want to bring that involvement back to the track. And so those venues will be available to the public.
So you're going to provide cars?
Yeah, we're going a lot further into this than just the Saturday night stuff. We're actually going to have track days where you can bring your own car and drive around with instruction on the track, so you don't have to worry about those messy speeding tickets. And also, we're going to open it up to other venues. We're talking to the motorcycle people, the go-kart people, the drifting people, all popular events that haven't had access to this track before.
Wow. You know what? We're with Frank Barmonte here, who has lit up the fire back at Shasta Speedway here. And tomorrow they're having their grand opening. It opens at 3. There's going to be music from 3 to 7 from Cattle Rocket. And then get to meet the drivers right at 6:30, and then they're going to start racing right about a little bit after 7. It's going to be a great night, great time. It's going to be cool, too. So
yeah, well, we told the tribe to stop dancing. We want the rain on Sunday.
Okay.
So it's going to be great weather for what we're doing. And again, on a more serious note,
yes,
one of the things we're doing and we're promoting now is the Teen Safety Driving Clinic, which we will be holding. We would have done it earlier, but we're waiting for the CHP to give it its final approval. Mm-hmm. I started at Thunder Hill Raceway back in 2004. It turned out to be very expensive and far away from most people, so we're bringing it here to the Speedway. It's no secret we've lost 2 17-year-old drivers in the last 5 weeks in our area alone, and 3 serious injuries. On a national average, there's a teenager killed every 54 minutes and one injured every minute. So there's a tremendous need in all communities to have this level of training, and we're bringing that back. It's every parent's nightmare to send their kids out with a car, and they just never know what's going to happen. And no training is given on this level. There's absolutely none teaching these kids how to deal with emergency car control situations. And we do that behind the wheel with a qualified person in the car with them under safe conditions. Emergency braking, car control, wheels off the road, all those things that cause the problems.
The wheels off the road. That's all. You know, you read that a lot, where they'll drift off the side of the road. It drops down a few inches, or yeah, and then they overcorrect because they panic because they don't know how to do this.
Yeah, they normally learn that technique about a nanosecond before they hit a tree or something else. And in some cases, like the crash 2 weeks ago in Chico, they wiped out a car with 3 other people in it. So, yeah, that's going to be available. We're looking towards the end of April, and we're working with the high schools with that program, and again, the CHP has been very helpful.
Okay, hey, we're here with Frank Barmonte that has resurrected the Shasta Speedway with a big program they're doing. We're going to take a quick break here. Carl Bott, Eric Witchcomb.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSafe. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time, save gas, save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do, Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Come rock and roll with Reading Republican Women. Go back in time to the 50s as we celebrate our fourth annual Wine and Brew event during cool April nights at the Elks Lodge. Libations, appetizers, and a live DJ. $25 tickets, call Diana Branch at 941-2100. Thank you to our sponsors, Mosley Family Cellars, Mount Tehama Winery, Elpin Cellars, New Clairvaux, Armor Low, Bernsini Vineyards, Lucero Olive Oil, and Woody's Brewing Company. Wednesday, April 22nd at the Elks Lodge, a fundraiser to benefit the scholarship program and Bucket of Books.
Can dream about you from Streets of Fire. Welcome back, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 10 till 8 today on April the 3rd. 52 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful weekend for racing tomorrow at the Shasta Speedway. This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. You know, if you haven't realized it yet, even though it's a little bit cooler today, summer is on its way. And if you haven't had your air conditioning looked at, you need to do that, and why not pick Alliance Heating and Air? Martin and his people have been in the business up here for over 20 years. It's a better-known business. It's a great group of guys and girls doing some super work here. They work on the air conditioning units in our house, but they don't do it very much because they come out here and they just make sure they're working. You got to clear out those filters. You got to make sure those air ducts are working. Martin does that. Any make or model of heating and cooling systems, give them a call at 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. My co-host, Eric Wittstrom, president of Northern Division of Five Star Bank, and a friend.
Great to be here.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm wonderful glad you Friday to do morning. That. No, it's fun. It's a nice way to you know, get ready for the Easter weekend.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I like Eric being here is because, you know, you all and yourself do a lot for the community here.
You.
I mean, it's yeah. you are you may be based, your headquarters may be based someplace else, but you all, you're here and you've been here a long time in Reading. And, you know, and Five Star Bank supports a lot.
Yeah, the bank does, and it's, you know, it's a good community. There's a lot of people that give a lot to the community, and it's, you know, it's good to be part of it.
It is. You know, the people that we try to have guests on, you know, that cover the whole spectrum of what happens in Reading and Northern California, Shasta County. And we have people that, you know, and they offset a lot of the negative things that you read.
Yeah.
One of the good things, though, is there's something called Nerd Wallet. Nerd Wallet, which
what
which,
is that, Carl?
Well, I'm not sure what it is, but what it does is it compares your bang for your buck as far as, you know, your education money. You know, how much does your how much of an education do your kids get
right.
for the dollar spent?
Right.
And you know what? In the state of California, Shasta Union High School District was number 4 in the whole state.
Yes,
as far as you getting the, you know, the bang for your buck. Scott Valley was 4th.
It was 2.
I'm sorry. Let me see. It was 4th. Yeah. Scott Valley's in there, and then Siskiyou.
Yeah.
Also, Siskiyou County.
School,
right.
Yeah.
High school. All of them in the top.
You know, in
top 10. Yeah.
I'm not going to tell our whole story, but we moved up here and raised 4 kids. We moved up here out of Southern California. And one of the things that we found, too, is that the education that our kids get, and, you know, when people have different opinions on it, and there's always those that, you know, find negativity to it. But the education that they receive from kindergarten through high school was comparable to what they would have to, you know, what we'd have to pay at a private school down there in Southern California. So
it's interesting,
absolutely wonderful.
Well, you've got UPREP, and you've got several
all the high schools,
you know, private schools around here. You plus know, the high schools are
in
good.
in our Reading East Rotary, which I've been involved in. We have a scholarship committee where we provide scholarships to kids every year out of Enterprise High School. And you know, I remember being on the committee 3 or 4 years ago, and they had one kid going to MIT, 2 going to Harvard, 1 going to Stanford. And it's just – it's really impressive. It's the things that go unsaid, but there's – it's really impressive what, you know, our local schools can turn out.
Well, it is. You know, and in fact, one of the kids that's going to MIT was one of the top scholars here and was back coming back home. He wanted to know if he could get an intern job here, but the hours weren't working right. But his kid – I mean – scholarship to MIT. All right, so you know, you figure where he is brain wise. I said, so what is it about MIT? I mean, what have you discovered? He says, I've discovered how unprepared I am. And I said, really? He goes, yeah. He says, we go into our beginning classes, and they're talking about things I've never even heard of. And the other one's going, oh, yeah. And he goes, I've never even heard of some of this stuff. He says, I'm just trying to catch up. And here he is, this kid is obviously very, very bright. Yeah. But they're hitting things at MIT. And he says, there are so many brilliant people there. I mean, he's in awe of it. And then probably people are in awe of this kid, you know, but he's in awe of what he sees around him. Frank Bramante is here with us too. And, Frank has launched the Shasta Speedway back again. And you're really into this. All the different things are going to be happening out there. And of course, tomorrow night is grand opening of the season. But you've raced in other places. I heard you all talking that you've raced before.
Yes, I drove professionally for several years. Eric and I were just talking. He watched me down at the Long Beach Grand Prix back in 1982. And wasn't a chariot race, but we did have some pretty fast cars. Yes. It was the last year they ran the Formula One cars on that track.
And you were driving a Formula One car?
No, I was in Formula Atlantic, which is the next series down from Formula One, but still fun.
What kind of speeds do y'all get?
Well, speed's not important. It's time that we deal with. Yeah. So it's getting from the start-finish around to the start-finish again in the least amount of time. So it's like a drag race. But, you know, we want activity out at the Speedway. We call it a Speedway, but it's an event center.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we're looking at every conceivable motorsport option and community option that's available to us. On Tuesday, I'm meeting with the Reading Motorcycle, the off-road people on the motorcycles, about getting a permanent motocross facility out there. But we've talked to Reading Yamaha about having a motocross event, which they have held for the Red Cross, in the center of our track. It's large enough. Actually, the center of the track is large enough to have two football games going on at the same time and have change left over. That's how much area we have. And we've talked to several promoters about...
There's over 200 yards there.
It's 650 feet long by 350 feet wide. So it's large. But we've talked to event promoters about having large-scale concerts there. We could hold easily 15,000 or 20,000 people in the infield without even dealing with the 3,000 seats we have. But again, we want to bring things back to the community. That's what we're all about.
This is great.
I was just talking to Eric. One of the fondest memories I have were services on Mount Davidson in San Francisco, sunrise services, Easter morning. I can still visualize that in my mind. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why we can't do the same thing here at the Speedway and make our facility available to church organizations or community organizations for fundraisers to help out. We, through Applebee's and Logan's last year, we raised over $100,000 for community events, mostly for high schools and groups like that to put into their coffers so they can hold their events and take care of their funding.
I think this is a great idea, and we're more than happy to support this, especially the fact of, the teens, and talking a little bit more about, training the teenagers on driving.
Well, we lose one teenager every 54 minutes in this country, and one ends up in the hospital every minute. So there is a need. And part of our proceeds goes towards the charity. But the teens will be out there this weekend promoting their own event, the My Team Teen Challenge, so that when people go out there, they can buy water or soda pop from them and help. But community support is needed.
I see this the Colt 45s also do a lot to support the community too, these type of events. But I see this now another group of people doing a completely different type of event that has a large following, and we can make it larger because there's something about watching a stock car race.
It's fun.
There is just fun. It is. I mean,
roar of the engine.
Oh, they're bumping each other. You've got hoods flying through the air. I mean, nobody wants to watch a race, just people going around. But when you're watching people they're people. They're not like these superstars that you can see from afar. These are guys and girls.
People you're running down the store.
Yeah, and you're running. I mean, and they're
doing business in the community.
And they
build their own and go out and compete.
It's great, and it's great fun out there, and the cost are you've kept the cost down, and it's just so many great things can happen out there. Frank, thank you so much for what you've done here and bringing back racing.
Well,
events.
Well, it's we want to see people out there. Come on out, give away some tickets if you're not lucky enough to get the tickets. We've dropped the prices almost in half, so you come out and have some fun and buy a hamburger or burrito or whatever you enjoy eating and have a
drink. How much are the tickets now?
We've dropped them down from $12 to $6.50 for this event. And
$6.50.
Seniors and kids can get in over seven, pay $3.50. So it's affordable.
It is. Okay, Frank Barmonte, season grand opening of the Shasta County Speedway starting this weekend. We'll be right back after these messages with Bruce Dean, who is the CEO and co-founder of Black Bear Diner and is the head of the California Restaurant Association, talking about what's happening in that industry. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. If French authorities needed any more evidence that Andreas Lubitz deliberately crashed that German passenger plane into a mountain last week, they're fighting it on the flight data recorder. It was recovered yesterday at the crash site, and officials say it shows that the co-pilot repeatedly sped up the plane, even as he used the automatic pilot function to descend into the mountainside. The chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee is warning the White House must not bypass Congress, I should say, by taking the Iran nuclear deal straight to the United Nations.
Chairman Bob Corker of Tennessee says he's moving forward with legislation of his own that would allow Congress to weigh in on the emerging nuclear deal with Iran. In a statement released after news of the preliminary deal, Senator Corker said there is growing bipartisan support for congressional review. Corker has crafted a bill that would mandate the president submit the nuclear agreement to Congress, prohibit him from lifting or not enforcing congressional sanctions for 60 days, and require him to submit reports on Iran's compliance with any deal at least every 90 days. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Washington.
Also at SRNNews.com, the weakening U.S. economy spilled into the job market last month, employers adding just 126,000 jobs in March. That snaps a streak of 12 consecutive months of job gains above the 200,000 mark. The White House reacting to the weaker-than-expected jobs report.
President Obama's chief economic advisor says last month's job numbers reflect a pace of monthly job growth below the recent trend. Jason Furman points to several factors, including weather and the global economic slowdown. Speaking in Kentucky on Thursday, the president said the U.S. economy is growing and has momentum, but he also warned that momentum can stall.
That's SRN News White House correspondent Greg Clugston. No momentum to be seen today on Wall Street, even though the Dow gained 65 points yesterday. The markets are closed for a Good Friday. This is SRN News.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was in college, and I used my credit cards as a source of income, and I got into a lot of debt.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The customer service at Trinity is excellent. They take all of your bills and put them all together. It's one single easy payment.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
Authorities in Louisville made more than 100 water rescues early this morning as area storms flooded roads and prompted at least one evacuation. Louisville resident Victoria Lacey says she was under a mandatory evacuation order.
There's people upstairs that got to stay home. People downstairs, we got to evacuate. Don't know what to do and don't know where to go.
The area had gotten 6 inches of rain overnight. Thankfully, no injuries were reported. In California, quite the opposite problem as the state itself preparing to enter its fourth summer now of a drought with little relief in sight. Long Beach resident Catherine Riscotti says she took the city up on its offer, got about $3,000 to rip out her lawn and replace it with drought-tolerant plants.
We rarely water. I will water if I move something just to get it established, but we rarely turn on our drip system at all.
After all, she notes that California is primarily in a desert climate. This is SRN News. On Wall Street, well, the financial markets totally closed today, as you would expect for Good Friday. However, the market's coming off with a little bit of momentum from yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average picked up 65 points, so it will resume its trading on Monday at 17,763. And also the financial markets overseas observing Easter as well. So not a lot going on in the economic world today. A man who spent nearly 30 years on Alabama's death row now free, after a decades-long battle to prove his innocence, a story he has never changed over the years. 58-year-old Ray Hinton released from the Jefferson County Jail in Birmingham. He hugged his family members and had just three words for the press today as he walked away from the press conference with a smile on his face, saying only to the media, "Thank you, Jesus." More details at srnnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott, except, of course, Linda's been gone all week long because she's got on spring break, but she's having a good time with it. And her parents rolled in last night for the show and then today for Good Friday. 8:06 in the morning here on April the 3rd. And Savannah, who is back from Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, and other places.
Oh, yeah.
Is bad. Good morning, huh?
Good morning.
What's it look like for weather here this weekend?
It's still currently 52 degrees. Going to get up to a high of 71, mostly sunny, with a low of 48. Saturday is going to be a high of 67, low of 46, and Sunday is going to be probably rainy. There's a 70% chance of rain, and the high will be 54.
That's great. Hey, weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a better-known business where their customers are always warm friends. Locally owned and operated, of course, senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793. My co-host today, Eric Wittstrom.
Good morning.
President of the Northern Division of Five Star Bank.
Good to be here. Kick off the second hour.
If anybody's got a real problem with me, the reason we're on the air is Five Star Bank. So what's that address down there?
358 Hartnell.
You go in and just walk right in. Just, tell Eric what you think.
Bags of money in the back, just waiting to be lent.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to pay it back.
I love this. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends down at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. John Bastiani started this company, and he and his wife started his company in the store, 6 years ago. In fact, they just had their 6th anniversary, just like we did. And prides himself on customer service. He's a locally owned, locally operated, of course. He's got some great gunsmiths down there, including himself. And they pride themselves on having the types of pistols and long guns that you want to have. Shotguns, rifles, sporting rifles, black guns, all those. And the way you find them is head down to 2539 Larkspur or give them a call at 222-8222. Bastiani Arms, great place. They do they just bend over backwards for their customers there. Now, not for the first time, but for the second or third time here, we've got Bruce Dean with us.
Thank you.
And Bruce is not just only the co-founder of Black Bear Diner. It's a small diner located almost everywhere that you walk into. But he's also the chairman of the board of the California Restaurant Association. Did I get that right?
Right.
Which has like 2 million members and all these kind of – I mean, just how many businesses in this?
We represent there's about 85,000 restaurants in California representing about 1.3 million employees in our industry, which is the second largest industry in California behind healthcare. And we represent 22,000 of those 85,000 restaurants in the state.
Well, that's a pretty good chunk.
Pretty good chunk. And basically I look at it that we represent all the restaurants in the state and the employees and – you know, try to create a business environment that our industry can thrive in.
I tell you what, before we – I want to talk about that because there's a lot of things that are going on as far as regulations and changes. But people that they know you probably, you know, probably from the commercials where
right.
If you watch the two bears out there
right.
One of them is Bruce, right. As you're sitting in there eating. Yeah. The one with the less hair out there, his head has been shaved in many cases.
Yeah, I was telling someone outside here that 20 years ago, this is our 20th year, looked at a picture not long ago of us 20 years ago when we were setting up the first restaurant in Mount Shasta, and I was a lot thinner and I had a lot more hair.
Well, but yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what time and a little bit of stress will do for you over the years. How did you start up?
Well, basically, I was running a company up in Siskiyou County that had gas station, convenience stores, and a restaurant and a motel, mostly centered in Weed and Yreka. And I became friends with a landlord in Mount Shasta. He had a restaurant that became available and came to me. I always had been in the food. I've been in the restaurant business since I was 15. I had a food, and I knew how to run restaurants and systems in place, but didn't really have a great idea. So my partner, Bob Manley, he was an artist and a teacher up there. I said, hey, Bob, you know, I've got to get this restaurant, but I don't really have a great idea that we can put it under. And he was a wilderness guide as well, so he came up with the name Black Bear Diner and some of the touches. And so we combined his artistry with my business.
Your experience?
Yep, business background, and we put it together. And we didn't know what we had. We were just kind of starting on a sideline, and it was going to be a part-time deal. We both had other jobs, and pretty soon people were lined out the door, and people were driving from here in Redding to go to Mount Shasta, and it became quite the deal.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to – because I know Bruce and your beautiful wife, Michelle. Linda and I are all friends. And because I know some of the backgrounds, I'm going to ask some questions here that I know the answers to, but I think people are going to want to hear. But one of the things is when you first started this, this wasn't like it just made – money right away.
No.
You were about the jukeboxes and this?
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of money when we started this, and we were able to leverage ourselves. The landlord helped us get in, and our grocery supplier helped us, and so we just kind of pigeoned ourselves in the building, hired employees, and of course we got to take care of them. And so for the first year, basically, Bob and I every Monday morning would crack open the jukebox and we'd split the quarters. That's what we lived on really for the year. I ate every meal in the restaurant for years. You know, I never cooked a meal for years, but it was something that it just didn't happen. We worked hard and every customer counted, and we were able to build it over time.
Well, that's one of the things that I want to talk about is that. And you've built it now. And how many Black Bear?
Well, we're soon to open our 68th restaurant.
Wow. 68.
68 yeah. Throughout the western states?
Yeah, as far east as Colorado Springs.
Right. And there's plans for more.
Yeah, we've got about 20 to 24 restaurants in the pipeline. most, again, in the west from Colorado Springs westward. But over the next 2 years, we'll probably open 20 to 24 more. We've got some franchisees as well. So some of those are franchise units. So.
Sure. But from that first restaurant in Mount Shasta to today, and how many employees
There's approximately 4,000 employees that are working under a Black Bear sign. Again,
some are
franchise units.
Some are company-owned.
Yes. But overall, over 4,000.
Yeah.
And so we're proud of that.
Made an impact on people.
Yeah.
You know, I want to take a break a little bit early here because I'm going to come back and I want to talk about the reason, you know, when we talked about your success and how this has started and launched, about when you first realized, you know, that, hey, you know what, we can go a lot bigger with this. And the reason why, in which, you know, because we talked about, and I find it really interesting, your reasons for why Black Bear has been so successful. But we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends from Shasta Regional Medical Center, ranked a top 100 hospital in the nation for 3 years in a row. And the reason this is because Shasta Regional just doesn't take care of the body. They take care of the people, because taking care of people can change their lives. All this at Shasta Regional Medical Center. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda, of course, on spring break. Eric Wittstrom, my co-host in crime here. We'll be right back.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSync. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time. Save gas. Save the hassle. Let us make your life easier.
Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
All the excitement of auto racing returns to Shasta Speedway this weekend with the Saturday Night Shakedown. 50 years of auto racing continues with the gates opening at 3 p.m. with a live performance from the local band Cattle Rocket. There's fun for the whole family at Shasta Speedway. Live music, face painting, games, prizes, and race fans, you get to enter the track to meet and greet your favorite driver and get their autograph. Heat races in all divisions with the grand finale ending in boat races. Tickets are just $6.50 for adults, $3.50 for kids age 7 to 11, as well as seniors and military. Kids 6 and under are free. Don't miss Shasta Speedway's Saturday Night Shakedown with something for everyone. Live music by Cattle Rocket. Great food from Cicada, Logan's, and Burger King. And don't forget the great racing. Gates open at 3 p.m. and racing starts at 7:45. Special thanks to our supporting sponsors, Napa Auto Parts, Tire Factory in Anderson and Palo Cedro, and this radio station.
The boys are back in town.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott is here today because Linda Bott is on spring break and her parents are in town. But I've got Eric Wittstrom here with me as my co-host. Eric?
Not quite as good looking as Linda, but...
Not even close.
No.
And you're not my type, buddy. You're a great guy. You're my bro. You're my friend, but you're not my type. Savannah's back, though. And she of course...
And she brightens us
she
up.
She brightens us all up. There.
Oh, thank you.
And Savannah brought me back that very expensive coffee made out of kitty poop. It's a long story. It's 52 degrees out there. It's going to be a nice day. It's going to keep the temperature down. Looks like Sunday we might be getting some rain. Shasta Gas Propane always brings us the weather. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair, a veteran-owned business. Jeff Wurst does something what other windshield repair businesses that can't do. He offers a full guarantee from a chip to a crack over 24 inches in length. In fact, he fixed a 12-inch crack in my windshield 6 years ago, and you still can't see it. Jeff Wurst. We'll guarantee it, and if he doesn't, can't do it, he's not going to waste your time. He'll just tell you. Integrity, big part of his business. Give Jeff a call at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street, Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Well, we're here with Bruce Dean, who is the co-founder of Black Bear Diner and also the chairman of the board of the California Restaurant Association, who represents 1.3 million people and 87,000 restaurants.
Yeah.
You just don't have enough on your plate, huh, Bruce?
Sometimes I think about that. Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk some more about Black Bear Diner, and then we're going to then we want to walk then we want to segue into the restaurant industry in California and the changes that are here and the impact it can have on us. But Black Bear Diner. So, at what point did you So everybody was driving up to Mount Shasta. You realize you really didn't have to live on quarters. All the time, you know. Maybe now at this point, you could eat, eat at home once.
You live off of tips.
Live off the tips now,
right?
And then, what was your first expansion then?
Well, we went to, we became pretty well known in Mount Shasta, and then the landlord in here in Redding came to us and said, "I've got a spot. You know, I need a tenant," and that was where we're at now at Hilltop in Cypress. So we went in there on July 1, 1997, and took over that restaurant. Again, we didn't have any money. So at 1 o'clock the night before the restaurant closed, it was there before us. It was called Harry's. And we threw up a couple pictures on the wall, and I brought in our menus. We rolled in a bear or two. A
couple of bears on the wall. Hey, we're ready to rock.
6 a.m., we opened this Black Bear Diner.
Clean the dishes and go. Huh?
Yeah, clean the grill, and there we went. And so it was kind of amazing to us, and we got busy there. Uh-huh. And, you know, people don't understand that it takes years. One of the biggest problems that a business can have, and restaurants have it all the time, is you start basically underfunded. Well, we're sitting next to a banker. Everybody thinks that they can have they're a great cook at home, or they, you know, got great recipes or whatever, love food. But really, to be successful in the restaurant business, you have to have...
It does take capital.
It does take cash. And a lot of people start, and then they have great ideas, but it takes years to build your cash, whether you're in the restaurant business or another business, to build up to a point where you don't have to sweat bullets. I mean, I used to have to sit there on Friday, mail all the checks, because I knew the weekend I would get the receipts over the weekend to cover by the time the checks got to the banks on Monday and Tuesday. So it took years, actually 7 years for us to do that, to actually build to a point where your cash flow can, where you can breathe a little easier. So a lot of folks don't understand that about business in general, is that you need backing. And I mean, you know that.
Yeah.
Well, it does. And, you know, and I think it's like that in all, all industries like this, because, you know, in the radio business, some cases you're 60 days behind because of media buyers.
Right.
That will, you know, you give them the bill and then, you know, 60 days later it shows up.
Right.
So you know it's coming there, but you still got, you got a cash flow that you got to be able to cover. Yeah,
exactly. So the restaurant industry is really challenged by that. And so anyway, we were successful in doing it. We got through it. Then all of a sudden we thought, oh, we can go anywhere. We've got two successes. So we went to Chico and we opened one in this little postage stamp right off campus. And we did great on weekends. But during the week, all the students parked in my lot and people didn't come down there. And so we said, this isn't working. Then we went to Red Bluff and we opened one in Red Bluff.
So did you shut that one down?
Shut it down.
I didn't know that one before.
Yeah. So we shut it down, and because – We weren't losing money, but we weren't making any, and we
putting
were just
the same effort in and not making money.
And we were a long way from Mount Shasta. Then we went to Red Bluff and we opened one in the former Golden Corral down on Antelope Boulevard. Thought, oh, this is great. We can open in a barn. Well, guess what? The first day that we opened, my partner, he hasn't been in the restaurant industry before, but he's a great talker. So anyway, all these people come in. He seats about 200 people at once. I'm in the back cooking. Well, you can't cook food for 200 people at once. So it ended up, we didn't make anybody happy. And after time went on, I said, we're just trading dollars down here. So shut it down.
Doors.
Yep.
Okay.
And so you learn along the way whether, you know, what's going to work. It takes a while to learn who you are, what you do best, what people are looking for you. And you kind of find your sweet spot. But it took a couple of painful years.
Some lessons.
Yes, some lessons for us.
See, I didn't know that before. I just thought you all were like, you started and it was unqualified success.
No.
But it's good to know that for our people out there, that even when you've got a success, that you're going to run into bumps and walls there. So you've got to come back, retrench, rethink, and move out.
You have to think. It takes a while to, like I say, really know who you are and what people are looking to us for. And so we went on then, and we went up and we opened still didn't learn our lessons. I think we opened up in Alturas, Susanville, we climb up Falls. Yeah, some of the old Jerry's restaurants, who've actually become partners of ours. Mm-hmm. They had these restaurants in generally real rural areas that were just, they were at the end of their lifespan.
Not a market.
Right. So we took them over and started doing those, which really was our expansion point. Because again, we didn't have any money. We couldn't do it ourselves, so we partnered up with the owners of that Jerry's chain, and they converted their restaurants to Black Bear. And so that's where we ended up in Salinas and Willows and Sparks, Nevada, Susanville, Alturas, Klamath Falls. So we ended up in some spots, some rural spots. And you asked the question, what about that? When did you kind of finally think that maybe you got something? Well, we opened in Gilroy, and which is kind of a semi-rural area, but semi-urban south of San Jose. And the people were lined out the door there, and which really opened our eyes, because we thought, you know, heck, we're a mountain concept.
We're a rural chain here.
Yeah. Then we went down to Bullhead City, Arizona, which is, if people know, it's on the Colorado River. It's dry, ugly.
Right down there.
Nobody
from
Bullhead City. Yeah. It's right next to Laughlin across the river. And we were busy there. So you learn along the way. We took some steps And we always thought we're this mountain concept, the small town mountain. So we did good in Gilroy. We did Bullhead City. We did, and then we opened in like Napa and Sonoma, bigger markets. And now, really, what we really think, you ask the question, what do you kind of know, is that, you know, we're in some of the largest markets in the country, right. Phoenix, Las Vegas. We're in Seattle market. We're in the L.A. market. We're in the San Francisco Bay Area.
And that's the one, when you said that, we thought we were kind of in a rural market. And then opening these others, but San Francisco.
Yeah.
I mean, the epitome of non-rural.
Well, we're not in there. We're, you know, I'm not in San Francisco, okay, but we're that, surrounding
you're surrounding that. But that,
it's a big difference if you're in the restaurant business.
Well,
and,
but in that area, though, I mean, but it's still, they feed into San Francisco.
Right,
so it's
do.
That same kind of mindset there.
It is.
And you're in a big success there.
And that's where we're really our largest volume restaurants are in the San Francisco
in the
Bay Area. And
Tracy,
you know, over the hill, you know, going over to Livermore, over to Modesto, Manteca area, it's busy. So basically we've kind of stretched ourselves and we've been surprised that people that you wouldn't traditionally think would want something which we consider kind of a simplistic rural concept predicated on North State roots, but they like it.
They want a consistent meal.
Yeah.
The secret sauce. We talked a little bit about on the break. What's the secret sauce for Black Bear Diner?
Well, we don't really have a secret sauce, but
it's the consistent customer service. People, it's a brand that's established. They've seen it up and down I-5.
Right.
They say, there's a Black Bear Diner. We know what we're getting. That's what we want.
Yeah, that's basically, as you say, our secret sauce. Whether you're in Colorado Springs or Seattle or Phoenix or whatever, you're hopefully going to get the same experience, the same food. You know what you can count on. So when you go, people go there, they know what they're going to get. And I would sit there and say that's been one of our most important points, is that I demand of our franchisees and I demand of ourselves a commonality of product. So wherever you're at, it's going to be the same bacon that I buy, which we're very proud of. We pay a lot for it. It's thick, you know, and it's tasty.
It's real bacon.
It's real bacon, and we pay a lot for it. Well, you're going to get that in Colorado Springs, and you're going to get it in Salt Lake City, and you're going to get it. So you can count on it. And so I think that's the bedrock of our success.
And your customer service.
Customer service is everything, and we actually did kind of a study a few years back. We hired a consultant to sit there and say, we really didn't know why do people come in the front door and what's important to them without actually asking them, because you really don't know. And basically what the consultant said is that most of our customers kind of felt like family, that our service, well, it's never perfect. You're never going to find perfection in our industry, but you're going to do as great as you can and you're going to do as good as you can. And if people are caring and they care about the guest and are friendly, people are going to come in. They don't expect perfection. They just expect to be taken care of and valued.
You want to feel like when you're sitting there that they do value.
Yeah.
And that they're going to come back and they're going to put coffee in your cup.
Right.
And that they're pleasant.
Yeah.
You know, that when you ask for something, I'm not sure, is that they're there with that bit of patience. Because we've all been to places that as soon as you sit down, you realize I've made a mistake.
Yeah, you know, you just don't feel important. You stand at the door and nobody says hi, or you sit at your table and nobody's coming to wait on you. But really what we're talking about here is, I put it on the overall scope of business. Whether you're in the restaurant business or you're in the glass business like your other customers or whatever, you're in the banking business or whatever you are, your customers need to feel valued. You need to make them feel like they're the only people in the door and that whatever you're doing, you're taking care of them. And if you do that and you provide great value and good service and all those things, I think you're going to be successful. It's not brain surgery. It's just you've got to take care of your customers.
That's it. And, you know, because a lot of things are the same.
Yep.
They buy from the same areas and all these things. But so and it's where you feel like. You know what? I can say this about when you walk into your bank there. I mean, you walk in and, hi, Carl. I mean, every one of your people knows probably almost all your customers like that. So you
know
get
our
that.
Customers and their needs.
We like to feel that our advertisers are, you know, that they're special. And that, you know, we've had a lot of them with us the
whole
time.
Know what we get.
Yeah. Yep.
If you treat your guests or your customers, whatever business you're in, and you know, like say they call you by name, why would you go anywhere else?
There you go.
You know, you're not going to.
No.
And that's what I try to tell my people who work under the Black Bear sign, is that you need to make our customers feel special and that we truly care about their business and we want to make sure that they get exactly what they need. And if I do that, they're not going to go anywhere else.
You know, we're going to take a break now. We're with Bruce Dean, who's the co-founder of Blackbeard Diner, and we're going to be segueing into the Restaurant Association. But you need to link this to your website, this 20 minutes, because mm-hmm. it talks about how you can start, how you can run into roadblocks, and why you're successful,
right.
You know, for anybody, no matter what business it is.
I think so.
It is. Okay. Eric Wistrom's here with me, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
This is awesome, Uncle Vince.
Are you ready to make your first Mary's delivery?
Yeah, what are we delivering?
You can order anything off Mary's menu for delivery. So we have spaghetti with meatballs, tortellini, bruschetta, chicken parmigiana, gnocchi.
Shh. Eyes on the road. Hands at 10 and 2.
10 and 2?
Test the horn.
I'm not going to test the horn.
Horn check.
Thanks for testing the horn. It works.
How's the engine temperature?
It's fine.
Maybe I should check on the meatballs in case they're rolling around back there.
No.
This is a pretty nice car. This isn't your car, is it?
Yeah, this is my car.
Really? Huh. Wow, wouldn't have guessed that.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
The Shasta County Grand Jury is now accepting applications. Serving on the grand jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you could hope for. The window of opportunity to apply for the grand jury is now open. If you're interested in helping ensure transparency and accountability in our local governments, agencies, and officials, if you can serve 15 to 20 hours a week for a year, are a good listener, able to ask thoughtful questions, and can work as a team with other interesting people, apply now. Go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org. That's ShastaCountyGrandJury.org. Do it now.
I feel I helped do important work representing the public in looking at local governments and agencies. I met our community leaders and learned so much.
For me, it's important to watch how taxpayers' money is spent.
If you don't ask the tough questions, who will? Apply now at ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda. Of course, Linda's on spring break this week, so I'm sitting here with Eric Wichtrom, president of Northern Division of Five Star Bank. But
good to be
he's
here
to be my co-host today.
Yes, I am.
And we're sitting with Bruce Dean, who is the co-founder of Blackbeard Diner, which is they've got 67, 68. One more getting ready to open up, 68, and 22 or 24 in the pipeline.
Right.
Wow. This we're going to talk about, we're going to move into something else here, but this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. You know, this is another one of those things, that, you know, another one of those businesses we talk about, that customer service.
Right.
Customer service at Cypress Square Barbershop is just outstanding. Man's last stronghold, discounts for seniors and veterans, but it's, you go in there because, I mean, you can get your hair cut anywhere, I mean, almost anywhere. Some of the people
you
in
get
here
your
can
get in our garage.
Yeah, in your garage. I've cut hair myself out in the desert. The question I asked him is, when are you rotating back? Yeah. And if it was within like 3 weeks, I said, probably you want somebody else to cut your hair. Mm-hmm. But the thing about Cypress Square Barbershop is that it is customer service, and you feel like it's the Cheers of barbershops.
Yeah, I like it in there. I don't have much hair, but I go in there every few weeks and they take off what I got. And you just like the guys in there. They just take care of business and they're kind of fun. And like you say, it's kind of the Cheers of barbershop.
Yeah, you walk in and hey, how's it going? So yeah. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. I felt honored because somebody called in there the other day and say, I want a Carl Bott haircut. And I thought, whoa.
Wow, that's a mistake.
As opposed to an Eric Wittstrom or type haircut. Savannah's over there just getting ready to fall off her chair right
here. Looking at, three guys talking about haircuts.
That's silly. Well, the difference between a bad haircut for a guy and a good haircut for a guy is like 3 days.
Yep, right.
Yeah. Linda just got all of her haircut. Yeah.
You know, one thing before we get into it, I met your trainer yesterday. I introduced myself to him. And I said, I hear you train Carl Bott. He just laughed.
That was it, just laughed. Well, when I show up, he trains.
So anyway.
He's a good guy. He's a hard working
fellow,
too. He has to be if he's going to try and train me.
Try to get you in shape, huh?
It's a lost cause. Yeah. But I do go out there and try. Bruce Dean, who has just slammed me right there. But then again, these two guys in here, I mean, when you two sit down, you two kind of like, you guys are big guys kind of filling this place up. Yeah. And then there was another guy out in the lobby that was bigger than you. And I thought, hey, if I got you scheduled somehow, I thought I'm dead here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You didn't expect to catch any breaks today, did you?
No, none at all. And so far, usually you kind of control what's going on, but I lost control immediately. Okay, Bruce, the other thing is, as we segue in, is you are the president. I'm sorry, the chairman of the board of the California Restaurant Association.
Right.
And which represents like 1.2 million people or 4 million people, 87,000 restaurants. Why? I mean, you weren't busy enough, obviously, with Black Bear.
Well, I just felt that... the restaurant industry's been good to me. I started when I was 15 years old, washing dishes, making $1.78 an hour. I was making minimum wage back in the day, and I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. First day I made $15, I thought, oh man, this is great.
I am in tall cotton here.
You know, and so it's kind of a story that I tell that we don't want to lose that ability for people to get that first job, and it's important to them. And I was able to. Learn more. I kind of learned how to cook and worked my way through school working at a restaurant in Davis, Sambo's, right next to campus. And I couldn't have gone to school because my dad had lost his job at the time. So I worked 40 hours a week, went to school full time, and I never could have done that without the benefit of the restaurant industry and the flexibility that it offers people like myself. So, like I say, I worked every day from 2 to 10 and went to school in the morning. So the industry's been great to me and to my family, and so I felt I'd like to give back something, and maybe I had something to say that could help us.
Okay, so with this many people and that you represent in all these businesses, thousands, tens of thousands of businesses, things have changed a lot since you started.
Right.
What would you say right now, a lot of the things that y'all are facing here, or the restaurant industry, which, by the way, has a huge impact on our economy? You said it's the second largest
economy in the state, or second largest
money industry. In the state. But there's a lot of things coming down the road that's affecting them.
Well, just, it's one of the things that the California Restaurant Association does, besides offering benefits to their members, restaurants and things such as, is workers' comp and coverage and health care and all of that we've got affiliated companies that help us. But really our job is to represent our industry in the political arena in California. Well, that's becoming increasingly dominated by the urban side of California and the blue side of California, generally west of I-5 as you go all the way down the state. The folks are well-meaning, but they're making life very difficult. I mean, up and down the state, municipalities now are trying to tackle minimum wage issues on a city-by-city basis. So making it very difficult for us as an industry to sit there and work in that environment. So, for example, we have a franchise restaurant in the city of Emeryville, which has traditionally been a very business-friendly town, just across the bay, hard-working town.
Well, they had a changeover in their city council. Well, now they've come up with they want a minimum wage in Emeryville of $14.42 an hour by July 1, 2015. Well, minimum wage right now is $9 an hour, $10 effective start of the year, January 1, 2016. They want to directly jump to $14.42. They want to add 72 hours of paid sick leave onto that. And again, so what you got? You got a restaurant that's sitting there doing business, and all of a sudden they're going to take a 60% hike in their cost of labor. Well, you know, along when you do that, you also get increased payroll taxes, you get a workers' comp, those things.
All
so
the way.
People don't realize that. The more money you make, the more you pay in these subsidiary taxes.
Yes, and so now I've got a restaurant in Emeryville who made a substantial investment in that community. There was a restaurant there that had been empty for years. Had kind of a blight on the community. My franchisee went in there and spent about $1.5 million to fix it up, predicated upon a business environment there that they could employ up to 100 people and that they could actually be profitable in that environment. Well, now the city's saying, nope, we're going to do this.
You're going to change 60%. The game.
We're going to change the game. We're going to increase your labor by 60%. So now what are you going to do? Are the customers in that town going to take, let's just take bacon and eggs or something.
Right.
It's maybe $9 or something. Are they going to pay $12 for that? Are they going to pay $13 for that? Because labor is your predominant component of cost in our industry.
Or are they going to go to Oakland and get it
Or are they just going to drive out of the next downtown over?
Right. Well, that's the deal. Oakland went up a little bit on their minimum wage as well, not as high here. But maybe they go north to Albany or they go to Pinole or whatever. Or
what if they just cut back eating there 25%?
Right. Yeah, and that's the deal. So, or most people won't be affected by this because they're making more than that, but they still may not be making, you know, a great amount of money. So now all of a sudden they want to take their family out to breakfast or something, and it's going to cost them, let's just pick a number, it's going to cost them $50 to take them out for breakfast when it used to cost $30. So then I worry about it.
There's a change
is that
there.
people are not going to come in as often because they can't afford to. And what's that going to do to the employees that this is supposed to help? If it doesn't, well, you know, obviously you've got to get efficiencies. You're going to have to look at a different way of doing business, which I always worry about that stuff. Minimum wage job, I understand. If you have a family and you can't live on minimum wage. You just can't do it.
Never intended to.
And that's the deal. Is my whole thing is that a minimum wage job
is your first step.
Is your first step up the ladder. Again, when I started young and I was 15 years old and I told you I was making $1.78, I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. To me, that was a good job. It was good. Now, if I was sitting there at, you know, 7 or 8 years later still making $1.78 and having a family and stuff, I couldn't do it. It's not intended for that. Hopefully I would have taken the experience, the first step, and gone up to the next rung. And so I'm just afraid that it's kind of a tsunami right now. And certain, you know, I think Eureka wanted to go up, Richmond, Emeryville, Oakland, San Francisco.
Area, where there's the money's right. You know, the tech money's really flowing.
Right.
So.
And so I understand that. San Francisco has a higher minimum wage than out in the valley. But it costs a lot to live there. You can't get an apartment in San Francisco for probably under $2,500. So it does cost more. I understand that. But it just seems.
But to change the dynamics of a business that's already established, you know, I don't think that the politicians are thinking about the impact.
I know,
I mean, it's
going to
impact not only your place, but every single place that you know, is paying minimum wage.
And I may be able to
absorb it,
handle it, whatever. But what about the independent restaurateur that can't handle it? And what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to
their
employees?
Or the other service industry, you know, offering that have normal minimum wage jobs.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, it's because this has an impact on everything besides the fact that we're just talking about the restaurants, of course, is that it's because one of the reasons that you're a success, and I'm just using you all as a success, is that your customer service and being able to do a lot of this. Well, if you're getting a 60% rise in your cost of personnel, you're going to see if you may have to cut out three or four people. Well, and then that impact that can have overall. I mean, it's like a set of blocks that once you drop the first one, and then they start tipping.
It affects your brand. If your brand is predicated upon customer service and you no longer can afford to do it because you can't pass that cost completely along. Now, what are you going to do? So you see in commercials now where some of the chains are going to tablets on the table.
Yep.
So that you know, you can pay at the table, you can swipe your credit card, you can order at the table,
okay.
You can do – what's that in the long term going to do to the staffing of the restaurant? It will probably cause a reduction in staffing because basically you've got to survive. And so whether it's our industry, the restaurant industry, or if you're
in
the retail industry or whatever. You know.
You go to the grocery stores now and you can go with your self-checkout.
Yeah.
And so you can put – you've got like two lines of people going through. You can just self-checkout.
Yeah.
And what's that cause? Immediately, you don't need as many
people
helping you with the checkout.
Exactly.
So, I mean, so that I never even thought about that, but you're right. That's what's coming. I mean, everything's going to be on the iPad. You just order yourself.
Right.
And you push it in.
You push it in and you come in. That somebody delivers your food, says how you're doing, hopefully, you know, pours you a cup of coffee. And then when you leave, you swipe your credit card on it, and there you go.
And I tell you what else that'll do. That'll cut back on tips, too.
Yep.
And I'll tell you why. It's because people will think it's kind of like doing a buffet.
Yeah.
Oh, I've done all the work. You know, I'm going to leave a tip, but not like I would if somebody was over here pouring my coffee and making me feel good.
You know, the one thing, too, that we haven't talked about is again, the tipped employee. A lot of restaurants don't have tipped employees. The QSRs, the McDonald's, Burger Kings of the world, generally untipped.
Mm-hmm.
But we have tipped employees. And so this also makes it difficult to for fairness in our restaurants because the tipped employees will make a lot more. And in California, tips are not recognized as wages. Now, they are on a federal level. They have to report them. They pay taxes on them. I match those taxes, Social Security taxes, on tips. But in California, tips are not considered a wage. And I did a little study recently of one of our restaurants, and I figured out what put the hours that the tipped employees did plus their tips that they reported. And in that restaurant, the average server was making between $25 and $40 an hour. So what happens?
Exactly.
What happens is then that you allocate your money. The person in the back of the house, which we call back of the cooks, the dishwashers, the preps, all those people make less, while the tipped employees end up, if you increase minimum wage in California, make more. So that really creates a real divide.
And they don't like the guys cooking back there. Why is she making or he making twice as much as I am right now?
And in the back of the house in California, about 70% of the employees in the back of the house in California, not particularly here, but are Hispanic. So what it really does is it creates a real split in the earnings capacity of those people that we talked about that are trying to work their way up the ladder here. And trying to make a living. And I'll tell you, those employees are hardworking, good people, family people, and they're very reliable, and I'm speaking in generalizations,
sure.
But I'll just say they're great employees, and this creates a disparity between the front of the house, the servers, the tip staff, and the back of the house, which is generally untipped, because the state cannot mandate in California that the servers share their tips with traditionally untipped people, cooks, dishwashers, those people.
So it's not like a big pot they put it into.
No. And now a good server will share a little bit with those that are making their life possible.
Right.
But that often doesn't happen.
Okay. We got to take a break. Jim, please hang on till after the break, and you'll be the first one up after the break. We're here with Bruce Dean, who is the co-founder, of course, of Black Bear Diner, but also the chairman of the board of the California Restaurant Association. We're talking about problems that we're facing that's going to have a huge impact on our restaurant industry right now. And, of course, Eric Woodstrom, my co-host in crime today. We'll be right back.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I have seen a big increase in the ethanol-free 93, so everyone's starting to do yard work. So come on in and fill up your jugs. We got another load of barbecue bottles in, so come in and grab an extra one. We just got a fresh load of race car fuel and methanol for all the off-highway tractor guys, red diesel, hydraulic oil, grease in barrels and tubes. We do sell bulk oil. If you need a quart or 55 gallons, we got you covered. If you need an extra storage tank, give us a call. We have a few used ones and comm vaults. Northern Lights Energy, where you can still talk to real people and not answering machines. Farm, ranch, logging, and construction, we cover them all. Corning, Weaverville, Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
You You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test-driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Call 243-8400. Preferred Carpet Care.
Oh no, dirty carpets. So I call Preferred Carpet Care. You know they've been voted the best of the North State, and now my carpets look like new. Preferred Carpet Care, clean, efficient, and professional. I love the way my carpets look. Remember the number.
243-8400. Preferred Carpet
Care. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 52 degrees out there. It's going to be a really a nice day today and tomorrow. Looks like Sunday it's going to be a little bit chillier, 56. And the weather, though, it looks like we actually get rain on Sunday, which we need. So much. You know, the weather's always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned, locally operated, veteran-owned business. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793. My guest today, Bruce Dean, who is co-founder of the Black Bear Diner chain, which is 68
yeah.
out there with 22 or 24 more. But also what we're talking about now, he's also the chairman of the restaurant
Association
for California, and my co-host is Eric Wichtum for today, president of the Northern Division of the Five Star Bank. Good morning.
Good morning.
Both of y'all. Let's go to the phones. Jim, good morning. Do you have a question? Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, good morning. I just want to have a comment here. I've known Bruce Dean probably for 35 years or more, and that's one of the hardest working guys I think I've known. I've eaten lots of his restaurants. He set up through Alturas and Susanville and Wairika and Mount Shasta, Redding. And I'll tell you one thing. If you have a football player you want to take out to dinner, take him to the Black Bear Diner. That's for sure.
Thanks for that, Jim.
Yes.
Yeah, because I have some football player grandsons that that's the only place I ever take them hard to eat is the Black Bear Diner. But anyway, I just want to say that there's a guy that's he's kept his nose to the grindstone and worked hard and really built himself a fine, fine business.
Well, thanks for that, Jim. I appreciate the good words. You know, it's tough to, you know, fight the battle every day. But over the time, this is our 20th year. We opened 20 years ago this month, or not this month, this year. And yeah. So anyway, along the way, we've met a lot of great folks like yourself. And, yeah, go ahead and bring those kids in. We'll give them plenty.
We'll give them a good meal.
Yeah, they're not going to go away hungry.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you really put yourself to school through in this restaurant business, I'll tell you that. Learned a lot. That's like going to college, isn't it?
Oh, it's I came out of college. I really found out that I didn't know that much. I learned it along the way, the school of hard knocks along the way. But yeah. Thanks, Jim.
The name of the game is never give up.
Nope. You learn every day. You try to learn something every day, and you try to apply it. And so, thanks again.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
You bet. Bye-bye.
You bet. The Restaurant Association is facing some uphill battles here.
You've got a lot of well-meaning folks in our state legislature. Again, our state legislature is mostly dominated by the urban areas in our state. You know, our representatives probably cover all the whole North State, you know, thousands of square miles. Yeah. They've got, you know, a little chunk in the middle of L.A. And, you know, and so you've got well-meaning folks that don't understand business. We talked about the city of Emeryville a little bit. I'm not sure, but I don't think anybody ever made a payroll there. That's now
it's on the city council.
It's on the city council.
Yeah. So that's
an interesting part. How many businessmen do we have on, you know, and you know that actually have signed, you know, payrolls that didn't pay themselves for a year because of getting started.
Yeah, you just don't. You've got to pay your people, and you've got to make sure that you're doing the right thing. So
anyway,
some of the things that about 2,200, 2,300 bills are introduced every year in the state legislature in California. About 220 of them are people that are monitoring it, look and say, wow, that could be a problem. So we've got one here that that Assemblyman Gonzalez says that if you have an employee working on a holiday, major holiday, Thanksgiving and Christmas, that you have to pay them double time. Now, I understand it's hard working on those days, but I actually have employees that would sit there and say, you know, I'd like Christmas Eve off. I'd like to work Christmas. So now they're saying they're kind of reaching inside our business and saying how we should do things. And then we've got another one that by Assemblyman Chu that says if you have more than 500 employees, you got to post your schedules 2 weeks in advance so that even though you may not know how the business is, how busy it is, what's happening, you may have a storm, you may have whatever, but you've got to post your schedule 2 weeks in advance. And if you're not, you're held liable.
You mean your schedule for labor?
Yes.
And so do you have to bring them in then?
I think so.
No matter what?
I think so. And
even if there's been like, okay, we don't have any lights here.
Right, and I'm not sure of that, but the bill basically says you have to post your schedules 2 weeks in advance. Generally, most employers will schedule it a week in advance because business changes. We got another one here. Again, well, from a state level, we talk minimum wage. Senator Leno out of San Francisco says the state wage should be $13 an hour by July 1, 2017, and put on auto increase after that. Then we've got
– this is the same guy that wants to take your guns away too, by the
way. Yeah, good guy. Anyway, Senate Bill Manning would require the posting of a warning sign at the establishment where consumers purchase a sugar-sweetened beverage. So they want warnings if you want to go get a Pepsi or Coke at your convenience store or restaurant or whatever. And then also we've got another one that basically says that sets litigation traps for employers by banning pay differentials unless the employer demonstrates a seniority system, a merit system, a system that measures earnings by quantity or quality of production. So basically they're saying you've got to pay everybody the same predicated upon a real system.
Unless you set up some kind of system that says, okay, this cook who comes in for this and does this much work gets this much money and this much more than this cook who only comes in this amount. But you've got to keep those records on everybody, all your servers, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And then we've got another one that expands family leave, which we all think is probably a good deal. Somebody gets sick, go.
Yeah.
But they've given some flexibility for small employers in that because if you have a 6 or 7 person business and somebody has to leave, sometimes that's going to just kill your operation. Well, they're tartening that down to 5 employees or less that you don't have to
do it. So if you have 6 employees and you've got somebody that has to leave for 90 days, or they get a 90-day
family leave.
So
what do you do? If you're an employer, do you get a hire, and then when that person comes back, do you have to terminate the other employee? It just makes it hard. I mean, I understand, most business people are they're good people.
They want to treat their employees well,
right?
So they have loyal employees,
right? So you don't want to turn over employees because employees cost a lot to train people
and obtaining them and retaining them.
Yeah. So anyway, you got the go ahead,
Natalie. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have you're live.
I'm live. Hi.
Live on the air.
I just wanted to touch base on a server's perspective. I worked at a local restaurant here in Reading, more of a fine dining, upper class restaurant here. And the front of the house, it makes it more difficult now to be able to tip the back of the house because we're claiming all of our tips.
Right.
So that's kind of another issue is even if you have only credit card tips, you're still paying taxes on assumed cash tips at the end of the night. So it kind of makes it for a really difficult division of front and the back house because, with the taxes the way they are in California, it's just so hard to walk out of there ahead.
Well, I think what if I understand it right, is that you'd like to help the guys in the rear or the people in the back section there, but you're already paying taxes on those tips, and then now you've got to give money. So that's like your double taxation there.
Right. I think she makes a good point, but I think with the IRS now, the IRS is becoming very strict on this stuff. And it's easy for the IRS to determine how a server like Natalie makes in tips because 70% in our restaurant, and probably if you worked in fine dining, Natalie, it's probably more, are by credit card.
So the IRS can go back in through the credit card receipts and determine how much that server is making in tips. And then it's tough for her because, you know, she has to report all her tips. And so and then they'll assume how much in cash tips she's making as well. So
just assume it, huh?
So what I counsel our employees to do is to keep great records of, if you tip out to people, is that you keep an ongoing record keeping of how much you made in tips and how much you tipped out. And I think the IRS will go along with that. But she makes a good point.
Nellie, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. We got like about a minute left, Bruce. I mean, anything else big on that? I mean, what you've hit is you've hit something here that could cripple the restaurant industry if all these pass.
Well, it's just going to make it very difficult, and it's going to make it tougher on the consumer because these costs, you just, you know, for example, I brought up the city of Emeryville. That increase in the minimum wage will exceed the profitability of that restaurant on an annual basis. So they're going to have to adjust somehow by either raising prices, trying to get more efficient, less staff, whatever. And so it's self-defeating, and you get very concerned that you get too expensive, people are not going to go out and eat as much.
And the other thing, too, is the ones, restaurants that I mean, you all are very successful, and you've got a base to draw on. You get new restaurants starting out that they're not going to make it. I mean, or the ones that are on the cusp right now that they could make it.
The barrier's higher.
Barrier's a lot higher.
Barrier's higher. And so what you're going to find probably as time goes by is more chain restaurants, big chain restaurants who can get efficiencies of scale. And they'll survive, and the independents that have been the backbone of our industry over time, and I still consider myself one, you know, they're going to have a harder time.
Bruce Dean, thank you so much for being with us today.
You bet.
Eric, always.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks for having us on.
You bet. Hey, it's a great day today and tomorrow. Head on down to Shasta Speedway. Get out there and watch the races. Monday, we're going to be talking about the traffic plan right here in Reading. That ought to be interesting. Have a great weekend. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Last month, employers adding the fewest number of jobs since December of 2013. Payrolls grew by just 126,000, snapping a 12-month streak of 200,000-plus jobs. Economist Hugh Johnson expects the Fed to sit up and take notice.
Unless we start to see a little bit of upward pressure on wages, along with good gains in non-farm payrolls, 250,000-plus, it's going to be hard for the Federal Reserve to justify increasing short-term interest rates. It might mean that they're not going to do it in June.
The unemployment rate holding steady at 5.5%. Fire and flood. Louisville getting it all today. There is widespread flooding after 6 inches of rain overnight.
Flooded. It's going underneath. It's going straight through the building. Mm-hmm. It's ugly.
And there's a fire raging at General Electric's Appliance Park in Louisville.
There were workers there.